let's see. Today's the 9th?
Yes, sir.
Ah, okay. December the 9th, 1989, interview with Chitra, tape number 4.
Okay.
In April 75, after your family was evacuated from Phnom Penh, mm-hmm. What area of the country were you sent to, or where did you go?
We went to Prey Vang province, and we happened to live in what we in this country would call county Kampong Trabai. And in a place called Takai. Takai is just like a village, Takai village. We lived there 3 months after the takeover. That's how long it takes for us to move from one place to the other, and the last stop we made is in Takai village, and we stayed there. And that place was not too far from Vietnamese border at all. It's about between 10 to 15 kilometers from Vietnam, so it's very close. And this is a really, really countryside. It's a lot of people never seen, a lot of old people. When I say old people, you know, not old age. It's, there's two categories of people during this period. The new people is the one from the city. The old people were the one who had resided in the countryside for a long, long time. And the old people, some of the old people have never seen what the city looked like. And we were the new people, and we never seen what the countryside to that much looked like. Despite the fact that part of the country where my father was growing up, but as we spent a lot of time in the city, and and the war took over for 5 years, and that's the lifestyle that we haven't seen for a long time.
How did you get to this, to Prey Vang? How did your family go there?
Well, out of Phnom Penh City, we started with a car, and that we went from Phnom Penh, the house where we live, to Chabampo. Is the county next to Phnom Penh capital. This is it's not too far. It's in, I would say, 10 to 15 kilometer. From the place where we live, and took us 2 days to get that far, 2 days and 2 nights to get that far. It was not because of it was because of the traffic jam, and everybody had to get out at the same time, and we cannot drive the car or start the engines. The car has to be pushed out on all along the road.
And your family pushed it?
Yeah, my brother, my sister, and my father, and we take turns to. We can start the engine. Let me take it back. We can start the engines, but we cannot run it too fast. We could go only the pace, the walking pace. And a lot of time we are told not to start the engine. Now there's certain distance that we can start the engine, and because we were too tired to push the car all the time, so we start the engine. And you may ask, why didn't we get in trouble? Well, it was not strict. How can I put it? You know, when they took off the few days, it was still easy when they took the over only a few days.
Mm-hmm.
So it was not that hard.
Yeah, not that strict yet.
Not yet.
Okay.
So,
it took you said 3 months to get to Prey Vang.
Right. Well, because we stay in Chimampo for a while, the reason we stay in Chimampo because my parents still hope that somehow we're going to be allowed to go back to our home in the city. That's the reason why, the very reason why we stay in Chimampo for a few weeks. And after staying in Chimampo for a few weeks, we were told that we were not allowed to go back and stay in the city. So my parents decided to go along, freeway number. We had the freeway. We had the freeway that go to Swai Rien, and we decided to go along that route.
What was Chilongpo like? What kind of a place was that?
In Chimampo?
Mm-hmm.
In Chimampo, we stay in the temple. We stay under the tree. This is like camping, it's real camping to us then. We cook outdoor. I mean, it's real camping. That's all I can say. It's in the temple. It's a temple environment. Usually the temple in Cambodia has a big land, and they have a few houses for the monks. So a lot of people come to the temple because it's a safe place. And as you can imagine, the big temple now is crowded with people camping all over places.
Mm.
And not just in the temple. Our family happened to stay in the temple, but in the Chimampo area itself, it's like it's jammed with the city folk who just escaped a few days ago, and they all camp, and some of them stay with the residents who stay there. If they have relatives, they go and stay there with them. Because a lot of city folk hoping that they will be allowed to go back, because that's what we were told, at least a few days out of the city. And that's the reason why we wait until a few weeks. And this is a place where the Khmer Rouge collect a lot of, I use the word collect. Well, I use the word collect, it's not appropriate, but this is what they did in Chimampo. They go around in a loudspeaker in a jeep, the army jeep,
mm-hmm.
saying that if anybody worked for the government, we will allow these people to go back and help managing, or they use the word cleaning up, if I'm translate correctly from Cambodian language, cleaning up the city. But that word imply managing, running the whole city, trying to rebuild the city.
What is the word in Khmer?
directly. It's most like clean up the city and help all these people to manage and clean up, because people, regime believe that city are filthy, cities is full of corruptions, and so this is a time that they clean up. Hmm. So Bosom Art is the word for Khmer language.
But you're saying that it could be interpreted two ways then?
Well, it's in that time, that would imply a lot to it. It's not just, if you use it regularly in every day, you know, like you dust the floor or you clean this and that. But in that, when they use that, it implies that the city is filthy. It's not filthy with trash, but it's filthy with corrupted people, corrupt regime.
Hmm.
And they want these people to go back, the government officials, to go back and help clean up the city.
Hmm.
Now, it's different level. I didn't know that government officials have many different level and categories, but they ask for everybody who used to work for the government. Now, that includes the professor, doctor, anybody who would volunteer. They ask for volunteer to go back. And now this was a fool. As we now know, it was a trick to those people who decided to sign up. And a lot of people did. Now, a lot of people thought that, well, this is probably the time that we can make contribution to our country and go back and help out.
Did their families go with them too?
No, this is like very selective. Only the one who worked for the government.
I see.
And as you all know, and as you know by now, that Cambodian usually the father, the one who worked for the government, and the wife and the children are not usually. So the father is the one who volunteered to go back. Now, this is the time that a lot of people choose to go back. And like I said, I repeat myself, but people went back because they thought that probably they can have that position back. Or some of them who were patriotic would also go back because they believe they could contribute something to help other country, clean up the country, clean up the city. That's a big word. Well, again, there were Bosom Art during that time. If you translate directly, it's clean up the place, you know. And again, when they say the city was filthy, they didn't mean that the city was filthy, it was with trash or anything like that, with corruption.
So, a lot of these people went, and was there, if you recall, was there any speculation what might have happened to them? Did you hear your father say anything like, you know, what made...
My father was very cautious, is the word?
Cautious.
He was very careful on that because he was, again, as by now, we know that my father was not any government officials, so he was not following the category, and he was just observing what's going on. And as we look back, that we were lucky that time that he was not involved in any involving any government politics or going back to help out or anything like that. For those people who went back, based on my little knowledge on that, none of them ever came back. Now, this including a lot of soldiers, a lot of professors, a lot of doctors who signed up to go back. And none of them ever came back. This is what I know of.
Like they were tricked into going.
Right.
And executed.
Right. And as we all know that, I mean, we learned it later in 1979 after the Vietnamese took over. We learned that this, the first category that they brought in, they killed them all, and they put them, you know, in Sathmay is a marketplace, the largest market in Phnom Penh City. Now this is the round, the place itself looks like a circle, and it's big. And we learned later that these people who, the one who volunteered to have clean up the country, or the city, they were killed and put and buried around this marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the marketplace is still there until today, and the people who believe to be killed during this time, believe we would. I was told that those people were buried under this place.
Mm.
Now this is a big supermarket, and not a supermarket, but a market.
Market,
you know,
yeah.
We don't
central
have a
supermarket.
Right, central market.
Yeah. I see.
It's when we look back, it's sad, but.
So, your family spent some time
in Chimampai?
In this halfway point. I'm glad you said it because and then what happened? What prompted you to go on to Prairie Vang?
Well, as we learn, as the time, the longer we stay, the more we learn, and the less hope that we had to go back to Phnom Penh. And eventually my parents learned that probably we never go back. We would never be allowed to go back. And then this is about 3 weeks after we left home. My parents decided, well, since we don't have any home, we might as well move on. And at the same time, we were not just don't have any hope. We were told that we should move on to the countryside, further to the countryside. And the reason they told us to move on is that if we all stay around city, this is like a suburb city,
mm-hmm.
and if we all stay, the city folk stay in this place, we don't have any food to eat. There's no market or no exchange of money. We don't have anything to eat. So we ought to go a little further to the countryside, and we were told every day that we should move on. Now, at this place, we were not forced to move on, but we were told that we should move on.
It suggested to you.
Right. We should move on a little further to the countryside where people grow rice, where you can have food to eat.
Was this by the was this suggested to you by other people with you or by the cadre?
By the cadre, they Khmer soldiers, and we all learned, not just my family, but all the city folk learned that if we cannot stay any longer, because remember when we get out of the city, we brought so little with us, food, so little clothes. And we cannot stay here. We were not allowed to go back inside the city.
Let me just ask you this, tie up one end here. What happened to your car?
It's still there.
You brought it with you to...
All along to Chimampai. We carry food in there. It's like, this is not a car where you ride in anymore. Clothes, food, this is like camping.
What was it like for you, I mean, seeing all this happen? I mean, what was...
Well, it was, sure, new experience, and you can say it was fun, too. I said part of it was fun, because new thing happening, you never expect that you would stay like this.
Mm-hmm.
And new thing take was, it was not that sad, because I myself did not see in my own eyes that anybody was shot right in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
No. What I heard, the saddest news I heard was those people, some of the people we know, who came next to us, we learned that their father, who volunteered to go back inside, was shot the night after he was on the truck. Now, I learned that, and that was said, the shocking news I learned. I never seen the shooting right in front of my eyes or anything like that.
So you heard it secondhand then?
Right. And a news travel fast, as we all came in one place. We were so hungry to get news, any information at all come to us very fast.
Did you still have a radio at this time? Did anybody have a radio?
We can have all the things we brought with us, the radio, anything that we brought with us, we still have. They didn't take anything from us at this post.
Was anybody listening to the radio?
Oh yes, oh yes.
What kind of information were you getting from the radio? I mean.
Well, basically, what they always talk about the victory, you know, the Khmer. I say they. I always say they and us, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, when I say they, the Khmer Rouge, okay.
Okay.
They always inform us how happy we the take over. They know the news itself never say anything important, you know, who's going to be what. It's very secret. That who's going to be the government, who's going to run these positions, anything. At this moment, I myself didn't learn anything or anybody who's going to be anything. I never heard of Pol Pot. I mean, we... Now, probably other people may know better, but the common citizens learned that the Khmer Rouge took over for one particular reason. David took over the city and the whole country just for Sihanouk. Now that's all we learned, for Sihanouk. Now who else going to be in any other government position? We didn't know. We did not know.
Now where was this? Where was this information from that Sihanouk was going to take over? Was this from the Khmer Rouge telling the people this, or was this rumor?
Rumor. More like rumor.
Rumor. Okay.
Right. It's like, we fight this war for our father. No. Sihanouk was our father at the time. We call him our father. Daddy.
Okay.
You know, on my paper, I wrote it, say, Daddy King. Now, Cambodian with some black oil. You know, oh, that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that. So some black means king. So king, daddy king, or something like that, you know, you translate that. But we fought the war for our daddy, for our father, like king father or like holy father, as we Christians believe that the father like that.
Right.
Right. And we fought this war for Sihanouk. Now, everybody hope that when Sihanouk come back, our lifestyle is going to be peaceful and harmony as it is before the war, because Sihanouk brought peace and harmony to Cambodia. But besides that, we didn't know anything, because the only thing that common citizens learn was that Sihanouk brought peace and harmony to the country, and that's what he consistently told the people on the radio, on the TV. He kept telling that we, if I use the word I, he said, I do everything for the people. Now, I think every politician say that, but he keep telling people that, and people believe in him, because, let me see, after World War II, Sihanouk brought peace to our country, and that lasted for a long, long time, until 1968, when the war started. So everybody was looked up to him and saying, this is the person we should follow. And the Khmer Rouge, as we now learned that Sihanouk let the Khmer Rouge in 1972, Sihanouk agreed to let the Khmer Rouge use his name in their propaganda.
Mm-hmm.
Now we learned it later, but during this period, we never know that. I mean, we always believe that, well, the Khmer Rouge was now Sihanouk going to be with the Khmer Rouge. That's all we know. We didn't know that Sihanouk just playing trick or anything like that, but that's all we know.
Well, from the information that you were getting, were you able to pick up other stations as well, like other foreign stations at this point?
At this point, yes. It's like I said, it's not strictly controlled yet. This is a place where people still move around. The only place you cannot go is in back into the city. Now, as you know, the city is built under the like waterway closing. You know, say we say Chattamuk means four river that meet, and the city in between like this, and the river.
Goes around it.
And if we go back to the city, we have to cross the bridge. And if they block the bridge,
they can't get in.
And it's easy to control us from getting in. Well, a lot of people sneak in, and they use a small canoe or boat to get in. Back in, because the river was not that big. But it's always a risk. To go back in, because we were told not to go back in, and you know, if anybody back in. For the first few days, you know, it was not that hard.
No.
But as time went on, they reinforced their regulations not to allow anybody to go back in at all.
Okay. When you were at this
Chimampa,
thank you. When you were here, and it was suggested that your family, as well as the other families, move on.
Right.
Okay. Did they tell you where to go, or?
No, not any particular place. We still have the choice right now, at this moment. We still had the options to choose any place we want to. But of course, we have to provide the means of transportation by our own.
Mm-hmm.
They just there to say, well, if you move on, the Anka Lu will provide you food.
Is that the first time you heard that term, Anka Lu?
Well, the first time, and the first place where we ever heard the Anka Lu word
was at this
mountain place. We were told that. If you move on, Anka Lu will provide you food.
Do the cadres tell you this?
Right. They have so your post, you know, like you, if you move along the freeway, you will see them. They have posts where, you know, they have your name and they have the form you fill out, ask you, what were you? When you were in Phnom Penh, and on the phone saying, where were you from? What part of Phnom Penh you from? And simple question. It's not any exact form that you have to fill out the whole your autobiography. Simple form. But they really want you to sign your name. And
your family did this?
We skipped. We have the option to skip. At this time, it's not, you know, it's like the freeway itself, you know, it's not really strict yet. It's like they just take over a few days. So it's like too rowdy.
But they have these forms. Now, did they select people who they wanted to fill out these forms?
No. It's the form. This is, well, let me put the time order in order now. In Chimampa, from Phnom Penh to Chimampa, there's no form they have to fill out anything. We just come on along the road and we stay in Chimampa because we believe that this place, we can stay close to the Phnom Penh city, and a lot of people choose to stay in this area. Now from Chimampa on, this is a place, like from Chimampa to Nat Lương. Nat Lương, you've seen Nat Lương in the Killing Field.
Yeah.
You saw Nat Lương in there. From Chimampa to Nat Lương, yes, there are several posts that you, when you pass a post, you sign a form asking who are you, what did you do in Phnom Penh, what were you? Simple question like that. And the record probably never go anywhere at all. Probably they just, because as we now know that a lot of Khmer Rouge did not keep a good record of these people.
Or a lot of them couldn't read.
Right. All of the soldiers could not read and all this. But again, each post they have somebody who could read.
Okay.
Now, post. A few of them could not read, but they always make sure somebody could read in each post.
What were the Khmer Rouge like? I mean, the Khmer Rouge that you were seeing as you were going this way, what were they like? Were they like, just give me a description of the type of people.
Well, they don't look black or anything, what we call black mode, no.
No.
They were just like us. I mean, they were, some of them were educated, you know, some of them, and again, we have to look back, I have to go back and explain this, that a lot of students decided to join the Khmer Rouge. A lot of teacher and professor, because we, as students, believe that this is the party that will bring equality. And students love equality. I mean, we love it now, and we still love equality.